When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good morning. Welcome to 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good. Andy Bunker, as it continues to be brick out that dough.
Very cold.
I got
there.
Holes in my yard because they putting that new AT&T.
Oh, yeah. They putting some fiber in your neighborhood or what?
It's everywhere. Like, everybody's, you know me. I'm all about being nice to people, and I was very cordial with them. But I told them, I said, could you move that blank out the way, please? Because it's trash day.
How do you do it? Never mind. Go on.
It's trash day.
I'm not going to ask any questions.
It's trash day. Yeah, and y'all got stuff where they – because they'll pick up my trash, it's going to be a problem. All right? Because everybody know with the Thanksgiving trash.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's just extra. That and Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's just extra.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
But, yeah, like the whole neighborhood is – but I looked at the other houses that they did a good job of filling in the holes and everything.
Okay.
But for some reason, it looked like we got more holes than ours. I don't know why. It just seems like.
Maybe the guy's a tech fan.
I don't know. It might be.
They're going to sting you one way or another.
Y'all got more holes in it than everybody. That's all I'm
saying. When they do that, do they have to tell you they're going to do it? Or they just like show up and start digging?
The dude was out there last week.
Yeah.
And the little paint thing. And it was all over the road. And
right.
But it's in everybody's yard.
That's to tell you where they're going with the. Yeah,
yeah, it was in everybody's yard. And it's in everybody's yard. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just making sure that y'all ain't taking advantage of my house. Because Miss Libby them had one hole. Mm-hmm. All right. I got four. All right.
That's too many.
I think so.
That's three too many.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe even four too many.
I don't know.
But at the end of it, if AT&T fiber is available in your neighborhood, then your internet will be really fast, I guess.
That's what my wife said. She always looks at the bright side of it.
Yeah. We used to. So they do AT&T fiber in our neighborhood, except for there's five houses that don't get it.
Right.
Us. Neighbors on either side. And then the two neighbors down from there. But because they're expanding, the school that's right there is expanding down to the next block, they're putting AT&T and fiber in down there also. Where it is across the street and down the block has it already.
Right.
But it stops right there. And they're putting it over there. And I went and talked to the guys last week. I was like, oh, great. And they're like, no, we're not continuing it.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start it here. So we're still going to be in the AT&T. Now, it's not as – it would have been really frustrating because at a time, my wife's – company was owned by AT&T,
right.
And we got a great deal on AT&T stuff.
Right.
They're not owned by AT&T. But we got Discovery Plus, so that's good.
All the nature stuff you can watch?
Yeah, we got unlimited nature stuff.
All the nature stuff you can watch?
And you know I love that.
Yeah, I know. You're a big nature guy.
But I would love to have fast internet, too. Our internet's fun. Anyway, Hawks won last night.
Yeah, man.
That was a nice win. That's four in a row.
Yes.
And it's amazing. I know it's very different situations they're in and all that kind of stuff, but the Hawks are 500. The Falcons are 500. The Falcons have lost three in a row to get there. The Hawks have won four in a row to get there. And just the general expectation coming into the season clearly was very different for both of these teams. But the Hawks, the way that they're playing right now, and again, two of those four in a row were against the Cleveland Cavaliers that had one loss on the season at that point. And since they lost to the Hawks, they went out and beat the Celtics. So, they're playing some good basketball right now. And I know it's early and, teams kind of go through these stretches and the Pelicans are awful. They're 4-18 and everybody's hurt. But certainly worth mentioning. Worth mentioning the fun ball that they're playing right now.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing a couple weeks ago that we were just wanting to see how this squad would look full. you know, with their full rotations, yeah, with Bogey coming off the bench, and obviously DeAndre Hunter, the continued development of Richey Shay, and you know, the other parts moving and everything, it's still not there. Boy, Jalen Johnson is so damn athletic, man. A couple of those plays last night just blows your mind and everything. And then Trey is, I won't say taking a step back from scoring, Andy, but to me,
I think definitely.
Meaning that he can't get it if he doesn't want to.
No,
I think
he is really
trying to instill the confidence in his teammates.
I think that's part of it,
yeah,
for sure. Because it's a young group that needs that and needs to kind of find what their roles are specifically, outside of just sort of watching Trey get his, and he can when he needs to.
Right.
But I also think the thing that stood out to me most in watching him this year is his passing has always been his biggest strength. It's the thing that he's best at.
Yes.
It's not always been the thing that he's led with.
Right.
Sometimes he's led with shooting. Sometimes he's led with trying to get into the lane and draw fouls, whatever. But he's leading with the thing that he's best at, which is being a facilitator. And again, he's always had it. And so the comparisons to other guards in this direction or that direction have always been there. But I've never seen him consistently be so, like, first option facilitator as I'm seeing him right now. And he's really good at it. In fact, he's leading the NBA in assists by 1.5 per game.
Yeah.
No one's had this many assists per game at this point of the season since John Stockton in 1994. Like, that's what... It's not just that Trey hasn't done this before the way that he's playing right now. It's that, like, no point guard has really played like this in a while.
Right.
And that's what's fun about
because
it.
Because it's
like
it's a shoot-first thing. It's a shoot-first thing.
And it always has been. And not no criticism of Trey. Like, he needed to be shoot-first for a lot of those years because nobody else could. Now they got some other guys that actually fill these roles that make sense around Trey. And that was the whole conversation last year. It's like, who do you build around? What direction do you go? It's like, all right, Trey's the answer. You build around Trey. But if you build around Trey, do it right. Like, actually get the kind of guys around him that can defend the perimeter a little bit, like Daniels and Johnson and Reese Shea, that can shoot. And hopefully some of that will come more for Reese Shea. And with Bogey and DeAndre, look, bench minute, DeAndre Hunter is like a genuinely good player in the NBA.
You know, I saw this
like
morning.
Really good.
I saw this morning, and it made me laugh, but I wanted to ask you about it because they said this team is great. It's better now because DeAndre has accepted the role off the bench. And I thought to myself, did he accept it? Or is he just, like, playing? You know what I mean?
I really don't know. I don't know why it's different. I mean, I guess the argument could be that you're playing against second units also, so the defenders you're playing. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it's working.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, he's making open threes. It's not like he was getting open threes when he was in the starting lineup. He was just missing them.
Right.
Now he's making them.
Yeah.
No one's defending him. Yeah. Like, he's getting open looks. Like, he's getting to the basket and finishing. Like,
the less expectation on a bench player, I guess.
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know.
Maybe the expectations be slightly lower. I really don't have, like, a great theory as to why 29 minutes off the bench, DeAndre Hunter scores 22 points, and 29 minutes in the starting lineup, DeAndre Hunter probably has 6.
Right.
I have no idea.
Right.
But we've seen enough of it now to where it just is.
This is the role.
Yeah, this is it. This guy comes off the bench.
Yes, this is your role.
And he's an awesome bench player. Bogey's an awesome bench player. Having Okongwu off the bench, fantastic. Kobe Bufkin is a nice release valve for Trey when Trey needs some minutes. But like, or some bench minutes. But like, I don't know how to explain it other than I like it.
Yeah, but no, I don't think. And that's the thing about it. That's why I said, is it the expectation is not there to live up to the expectations of being the number 4 overall pick?
Maybe.
Supposed to be a cornerstone player and all those different things. And now some of that is off. And now you just go out there and just play instead of trying to have all that on you and everything. I mean, being an athlete, you know, the pressure's always on you. Don't, it's not to get twisted. But a lot of times the expectation adds more pressure to it. Well, there's not that pressure anymore being – even though he is still technically the number 4 overall pick and everything like that.
Yeah.
But
that's a long time ago.
But that's a long time ago. And us as, you know, as Hawks viewers already kind of figured out what this guy is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be that guy that I thought he was going to be when he came out of college.
Yeah.
But he can be this, and this is a better version of who he is. This is a better version of who he has been in any year he's been a starter.
Mm-hmm.
This version right here of him. And I credit Coach Quinn for the and the Hawks.
Definitely.
Like, hey, we understand where you were picked at. We get it. And we know that we gave you a contract extension and everything like that. But our team is better when you're in this role. So we know what we're going to – I don't care if somebody goes down in the starting line and y'all play the same position. You're going to come off the bench. Because that's the only thing I worry about is somebody – if something does happen to a wing player, do you put him back in the starting line?
And you probably would.
I would.
Here and there. But, or you might – you know, I wouldn't either unless you had to.
Right.
But you know, you might have to, because he's a guy that sort of plays that role and has that body type. The other part of it is you have guys that do what he was supposed to do.
Right.
Like, you actually have guys in front of him that do what he was supposed to do. Dyson Daniels is a legitimately great perimeter defender.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Kana never was. He was okay.
He was supposed to be.
He was okay early, and then I think some knee stuff kind of slowed him down a little bit, and he just isn't that.
Right.
I mean, Jalen Johnson is everything you want in that role.
Yes.
And I think that some of that was what DeAndre was supposed to be as well. And he just isn't. And again, that's fine. Like, not everybody lives up to the expectation that you have for them when they get drafted. But to find the right role for him is great. And here they are. Look, Risa Shea is still coming along. He's it's going to be a process with him.
Yeah,
but if you can do that with these other guys playing the way they're playing, it's good.
And I think the best thing with the process with Risa Shea is you let them go out there and play through it. You know what I mean? And his play's not really killing you that much. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, a lot of times when you have a player that's developing like him, you kind of want to slow him, play him, bring him off the bench and things like that. No, throw his ass out there.
Yeah, let him play, because he doesn't, with all the guys you have out there with him, he's not going to get the ball that much anyway.
Right.
And so then he can sort of come along in a more steady fashion. I saw a number this morning. He's got the least amount of touches per game of any number one pick since Anthony Bennett.
Yeah, because the number one picks had to carry.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally. And Anthony Bennett wasn't getting the ball because he was terrible.
Oh, God.
Risa Jay is not getting the ball because that's what his role is in the offense.
I need to see that scout report again.
Dude, everybody knew.
I want to see that scout report.
Everybody knew
because it's Cleveland,
night.
Right?
Yeah,
it was Cleveland, right?
Like, what are you guys thinking?
I just want to see that scout report.
Yeah,
Anthony Bennett, Wisconsin.
What? No, UNLV.
UNLV. Who's bad? I thought it was a bad dude for Wisconsin. Anyway, anybody that wore a red jersey, this is awful.
It was not a good pick. That's not putting Risa Shea in that category.
No,
I was just saying he's got the least amount of touches per game of any number one overall pick since him.
But we know why.
But the reason why is not the same reason why. Anyway, the Hawks win last night, 124-112. Guess they were lightly booing DeJounte.
Dude.
Polite boos?
They sounded like
boo. Why? DeJounte's a nice guy. Gave his all while he was here. It just didn't work out. Well, his fault. All right. We'll come back, get into what's trending. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We knew he was a focal point for their team, so we tried to make it as tough as possible for him, and we did a good job on him. But for me, I mean, obviously I wanted to play good every night besides the nights he plays us, especially him being in the West. It doesn't really affect us as much, so we've still been communicating behind the scenes every now and then. We both check up on each other, but I'm glad we got this one. I know he's hurt he didn't win tonight. Just I know the competitor he is, so.
God, people just still want that to be something that it isn't,
yes, they
don't
do.
They?
Yes.
They still want that Trey DeJounte thing to be more than it was. It just didn't work as a basketball experiment. It didn't work. They don't hate each other.
It was easy.
They don't want to fight each other.
I guess, man. they're both. I never understood the whole they got beef anyway.
No. But there was never any real indication of that outside of, like, rumors that you heard from folks that wanted it to be true because it's just more interesting that
way.
It's more interesting if they hate each other and that's why it doesn't work than if they kind of just don't mesh well.
What about interesting is people saying that they should build around DeJounte and Trey?
Yeah, that was something that some said. They played better without him.
Yeah.
they were like 300.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're playing good right now with Trey. They played against DeJounte last night. DeJounte did not have a particularly good game. 2 for 15, 7 points. He was minus 15 in his minutes on the floor. And the Pelicans are really awful.
Man, they are beat up.
They're beat up.
Left to right.
Yeah.
Boy.
Brandon Ingram's not playing. Obviously, Zion's not playing. Even Jose Alvarado, he's banged up. He's not playing. So, I mean, you're rolling out there with, like, you know, Ives Missy.
Who the hell is that?
The guy who played 35 minutes last night, dropped 23.
His name's Ives.
Or Eves.
Yeah.
Y-V-E-S. Yves Saint Laurent.
It's pronounced.
Yves Ives. How was it pronounced? Jack. anyway, nice win for the Hawks. Trey goes for 15 assists. He's leading the NBA in assists per game by 1.5 per game over
DeJounte Murray.
Nope. Nikola Jokic.
Oh, duh.
Nikola Jokic, who's leading the NBA at every category, pretty much. The Hawks have won 4 in a row. They're 11-11 now. And
11-11, yes, sir.
Pretty fun to see.
Yeah, man. It's good that because we mentioned
the Bucks
in the opening
next
segment. I can beat the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks aren't good.
Have they been playing better yet lately, though?
They've been playing better.
Yeah. Like Giannis, like, well, damn it, I'll just do it myself.
Mm-hmm. They won at least 5 in a row.
Yeah, I'll just do it my damn self, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, just continuously, like we keep saying, just keeping this squad. Because the biggest thing for this team to get the chemistry, they got to stay healthy. It's always something. Somebody always got to go down with something. Just stay healthy the whole season. And then, you know, who knows if you're where you need to be. Is there a move that you might be able to make?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah,
like, now you're sort of thinking about it like that, as opposed to,
but
you know, they're not going to do anything,
right.
And why would you? Now, it feels to me like, and I know Capella had a nice game last night, like 17 rebounds or something like that. That, to me, feels like the upgrade in the starting lineup that takes you from where you are to, I don't know who that is.
Right.
But yeah, if you can get a center who's like a legitimate offensive player.
Right.
And again, Clint played good last night. Played good defense, had 17 rebounds, all that kind of stuff. It's way too early to be worried about seeding or anything like that, but as you look around the rest of the Eastern Conference, it's two really good teams, and then a lot of teams kind of right there after them. And maybe you throw the Magic into a category slightly above that as well, because they've been really good even without Banchero.
Right.
I mean, Wagner's been absolutely playing out of his mind since Banchero went out. And we kind of laughed at him last summer for giving him a max. He's been earning it. Like, Wagner's been playing great.
That's usually the expectation when a player like him goes out. Your next max player is supposed to do what he's doing.
Yeah, he's playing awesome.
And so, but that's where, I mean, but that's most teams, except for, like, if Jokic goes down, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Like, DeJounte.
Even when Jokic goes to the bench, they're cooked.
Yeah, Murray can't. Like, it's amazing how, because of the depth they've lost.
Yeah, they have no depth.
They have no depth at all from that championship team.
Yep.
And now he's to the point where he has to play 40 minutes of the damn game.
Mm-hmm.
And this, He's a big dude, but I think they're going to catch up to him.
Oh, it is.
They're going to catch up
to him. Yeah, I mean, caught up to him last year, and it's just hard. It's a lot to ask to do that for 82 games and then get into the playoffs. And the Russell Westbrook thing has worked pretty good in Denver when he's on the court with Jokic. But when he's supposed to lead the second unit, it's a disaster.
Hell yeah, it is. Right? Russ, like,
because then he's left to his own devices
Russ,
again.
Russ, like, I got this.
Yep.
And that's the funny thing about Russ is that he don't – you still can't tell Russ that he ain't Oklahoma City.
No,
Russ.
He thinks he's the MVP basketball to this day. But when Jokic is out there, he at least kind of has to defer a little bit and kind of play that role, or Murray. But when it's just him, all right, guys, watch this.
Hang on, boy.
He feels like a big watch this guy
in
practice. All right, guys, watch this.
Better buckle up, man. Because Russell Westbrook is going to do Russ. Russ can miss 30 shots, and I'm talking about 30 bad shots.
Couldn't care
less. And he's going to take 31.
Yeah. Something's wrong with the rim.
Yep.
They didn't inflate the ball correctly. Yep. Something like that.
Russ going to take 31.
It's a great mentality. God, I love that guy. God, I love that guy. What an absolute treat of a player he's been to watch. Speaking of guys that I love watching, maybe not quite as good as Russell in his career, but just a joy, just a gift to the sports world, especially from where the Browns were and who their quarterback was and the way that he was playing. And they're not winning more, but it's a hell of a lot more fun to watch. Jameis Winston throws for 500 yards last night.
Six touchdowns.
Two of them were to the wrong team.
Six ham touchdowns.
If you include the return yards on the interceptions that he threw for 700 yards last night.
Yes.
And then afterwards, he talked to the media, and that's the best part.
This was a tough one, man, in front of the whole world. I messed it up in front of the whole wide world, but I'm going to continue to get better. We're going to put this one behind us, and Lord willing, we go to Pittsburgh and finish strong. It's about finishing.
Oh, no. You have the other one? We have to. We have to play it.
Yeah.
We need to be delivered.
Yeah, man.
And this goes for Kirk Cousins, too, and any quarterback that we want to stop throwing pick sixes.
In times like this, you know, that's it's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know I'm just praying for the Lord to pick sixes. Like that's not me. Like
what?
A phenomenal game, offense.
Thank you, Jim.
But I messed it up.
You know what?
It's my favorite thing that I've ever heard a quarterback.
He played.
Say.
When did Jared Judy's catching the ball now?
Judy went off.
He went off last night.
235 yards and a touchdown.
He went off last night. Jameis, I mean, the touchdown throw, both touchdown throws in Joku, sick.
Yep.
Just put it in there. Only with Jameis. The biggest thing with Jameis is you just don't know where the ball's going but leaves him. Dog, they had two driving with the ball. You just knew it was eventually going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I love it with Jameis. And Jameis could be my backup. I can't give Jameis the keys to my franchise.
No, no, no.
Because of that right there.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But
you also can't let Jameis throw the ball 58 times
in a game. No, because something bad's
going
to happen.
Like, if Jameis throws the ball 58 times in a game, there's going to be four touchdowns and there's going to be six touchdowns.
Something's going to happen.
But two of them are going to be for the other team.
Something's going to happen, man. I just need to know, when did Jameis – was Jameis the preacher in New Orleans?
I think so.
Because he wasn't preaching in Tampa.
No, he wasn't maybe quite there yet.
Yeah, he
was more eating W's.
Okay, because, you know, he still ain't done with me yet, Andy. You know, he still ain't done with me yet.
Well, maybe he'll deliver you some pick sixes.
I'm still a rich.
From
pick
sixes.
Yeah.
Oh, we all are.
Yeah, and so, but Jameis is, and I love it. Praise him because he gives us so much, and we should praise him more like Jameis. But
Jameis is right. Glorify him even in the hard times.
Yeah, you have to.
I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
But that's the thing right there when he said that. I'm just praying that the Lord keep me from pick sixes. I don't think it worked like that, Jameis.
I don't think it does either. But
No. It don't work like that, Jameis. And I just because I don't want to pick at nobody and how they worship. You can do whatever you want. But it don't work like that, Jameis.
I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
This means that this man because you go to the locker room, Andy, before the game, I would always say my prayer on the bench after we run out the tunnel and everything. Is he on the bench or in his locker before the game saying, Lord, please don't let me throw pick sixes today?
Probably.
Because all my prayer was, Lord, keep me healthy.
Yeah, keep me healthy.
All us safe.
Yeah. You know, glorify. Whatever.
Yeah, that was always my prayer for the game. If Jameis is in his locker talking about some Lord, please don't let me throw pick sixes.
What I like about it is he seamlessly combines like the language of the gospel
yes.
and football language. Yes. Like, you don't normally hear people say stuff like that. Like, I just pray that the Lord deliver me from evil is something that you might hear someone say. But then to throw pick sixes in there is
I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
It's the funniest
thing I've ever heard. It's the greatest thing ever. It's just awesome. Because the thing about it is, he's going to throw another pick six. So what's the –
against
what?
The Steelers.
And then what?
On Sunday.
And then what? You weren't delivering.
Pray harder. He didn't want to deliver.
Oh, my God. This guy, man.
Thank God for the opportunity to eat some snow.
This guy.
And the way he even said Pittsburgh was
definitely going to eat some snow today.
Yeah, man.
Like, they also, I don't know if anyone saw this, if you're watching the broadcast, but like, they do this thing now when they show the picture of the player. It's not a picture anymore. It's a video.
Right.
So whatever the week leading up or whatever it is, they go, they shoot video and they're, all right, stand here. We're going to use this when we show your stats. When they did Jameis's, they had him and Bo Nix side by side. Bo Nix just stood there like a normal person. Jameis starts dancing and eating W's and like flipping the ball around. It's awesome.
Yeah,
like,
man.
He can't even stand there for a normal still shot.
Yeah, but look, Bo Nix came from his side like he was all serious and he pointed at the camera.
Sure.
Would you rather Jameis eat a dub?
Of course I would. I would rather Jameis do whatever Jameis wants.
Like a fool, like Bo Nix.
But that's what most guys do. I'm just saying. Jameis can't do anything the way other people do.
Weirder than that right there. Because you're sitting there like, what am I supposed to do? Oh, well, point to the camera. Point the ball at the camera.
Right.
Make a face.
Do something cool.
Do something. And that's how you say it, too. Do something cool. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Nothing,
dude?
I try to do right now is going to be cool.
Yeah, man.
Unless you eat a couple W's.
I guess.
Flip
man.
The ball around and dance like Jameis.
I just love Jameis.
Ah, what a treat. What an absolute treat. What else? Oh, all right. Texas is the home team, so they're going to wear white. Georgia's going to wear red.
Okay.
Okay. Well, wouldn't that make Georgia the home team? But I think Texas is the home team.
But Texas wanted to wear white. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. Always hard to beat two teams, a team for a second time in a year. I know Georgia's done it twice.
I thought they say third time.
Huh?
I thought it was hard to beat a team three times.
No, it's hard to beat a team twice, I thought it was.
Oh.
College football, right?
Doesn't happen much.
Doesn't happen. Georgia's had it twice, but they were the team that lost and beat the team. They beat Auburn, and then they beat Bama.
Right.
And so, but yeah, I mean.
No, you're right. That they've gone 1-1.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. That place is going to be rocking.
Oh, it's going to be
awesome. It's going to be great because Texas is, like I said, it's on their mind. They know what Georgia did.
Yeah.
You remember I said before the Texas game, I was like, Texas, they coming for us. And you saw what we did. We went there and beat that ass. Mm-hmm. Now, are they better than now?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
I think their defense is.
I thought the defense was really good.
Their defense has been really good.
I just thought we got
out. I guess they had three picks in the game, so how much better could their defense really be?
I thought they were, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, we'll get to talk about it more. And, because I kind of heard Carl, I'm like, and I'll ask Carl when he gets here, about like it's going to be a lot of people from Texas coming in.
Sure.
And everything
I would hope so.
But then, because that was always the biggest thing, is this whole new playoff format is like the bread you got to spend.
Oh, right.
You know,
so maybe you don't spend for this,
yeah,
so you can go to the playoff game.
Like that.
Right.
But I would come here.
Just go to all of them.
Yeah.
They're Texas.
They got plenty of money.
Everybody has oil money, right? That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Maybe Matthew McConaughey will be here.
There's some broke people in Texas now.
A lot of them.
Yeah. More broke people than rich people.
Probably. That's how the rich people like it. Keep them around. All right. We'll get Mike Conte in here next to talk some college football playoff. Definitely want to get his thoughts on what Penn State might be able to do this weekend. And obviously we'll talk some Hawks with them as well, as they've won four games in a row. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I know. I think Prince.
They got the Knicks coming up or something.
I think of Prince when we have Mike Conte on. Yeah. What song did we used to play for Mike? The thong song.
The thong song.
The thong song.
Yeah. Conte. Yeah. And I have no idea how that started. No idea how that started. But we did for like years when Mike Conte would come on. We would play Cisco's thong song. Not anymore. Now it's Prince. It all makes sense. It's all for a reason. Bo's back there, the mad scientist. 20 minutes away from getting into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. We'll get to a college football corner at 12:20 as well. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. But 11:40 on Tuesdays does mean Mike Conte joins us. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to remember what happened to Cisco.
Something happened.
You know? Like to Cisco?
No. Well, no. Just like, where is he now?
I don't.
Like, remember he used to have like that Mike flag, like the big S.
Yeah.
When he would hold on the microphone, and it was like between a Mike flag and brass knuckles.
He's probably doing clubs.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Probably doing clubs and like
he had some bangers in the late '90s.
Yeah, like, Drew Hill had a lot of songs.
Yeah, he's probably doing some clubs and like sorority parties?
In 2024, Cisco competed on season 11 of The Masked Singer. He was eliminated on Shower Anthems Night, but he did do an encore performance of the thong song.
And I missed it?
You missed it. No, you missed it. You could probably catch it on...
To YouTube I go as soon as the segment is over. Yeah,
catch that on YouTube.
Yeah.
Just take a stab at it, just for fun, since we're talking about Cisco. How old do you think he is?
60. 51.
60.
46.
Man,
really? He's that young?
Young man.
Wow.
He's a young man.
Wow,
also, real
old.
Name Mark Andrews. Same name as the tight end for the Ravens. Also, he's from Baltimore. How weird is that? Anyway, that's enough.
Wow.
Cisco.
Cisco. Not even the most famous Mark Andrews from Baltimore.
Not even the most famous Mark Andrews from Baltimore. Mike, let's talk Penn State, and then we can get into the Hawks four-game winning streak.
Yeah, listen, guys, I hate to interrupt. For those of you listening in Athens, Randy, you know, anyone connected to the Georgia program, I really need you guys to lock in, okay? I'm counting on you. Because if Georgia wins and if Penn State wins, Penn State is the number one seed going into the playoffs.
That's true.
So I need you guys to lock in, all right? I need a Georgia-Penn State national championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with Penn State wearing blue.
That was the last time, what, in 1980?
1982.
82, okay. Last time.
Now, we won't talk about that Gator Bowl from 2015. That doesn't count.
That was personal.
The Gator Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, that was tough because... That was just really tough.
I don't know what happened in that game. What happened in that game?
Honestly, you know what happened was that was kind of the turning point for the whole Penn State program because Christian Hackenberg got benched in that game, and they brought in Trace McSorley, who no one had ever seen before. And, like, in the fourth quarter, Randy's texting me and Mark Owens and all these Georgia fans, like, when did you guys get Johnny Football to play for Penn State? Like, it completely changed. Georgia could not stop it.
When everybody says Hackenberg, I just always remember the hype.
Yep.
Yeah.
The hype of this kid.
Well, coaching.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so Georgia, lock in. I'm rooting for you. Is Penn State going to beat Oregon? Probably not.
Why? But, I don't know.
Honestly, don't know.
I just don't know.
Has there been a coaching change that I'm not aware of? Like, you know James Franklin's record top 10 teams,
that's
right?
That's true, but those are always Ohio State and Michigan.
And that is a great point. And his record against ranked teams other than Ohio State and Michigan, pretty good. You look at how he's done against Wisconsin and Iowa and Auburn. I'm thinking of some of the – I don't know if West Virginia was ranked when he played it. But, like, he's actually done pretty well against non-Ohio State and Michigan-ranked teams. He won a Cotton Bowl against Memphis. He won a Rose Bowl against Utah. He won a Fiesta Bowl against Washington.
Yeah. I don't remember that game.
But I think Oregon is still kind of a mystery to me a little bit. And I'm wondering why, you know, like Penn State and Oregon are getting kind of this committee benefit of the doubt that Indiana has not been getting and some of the ECC teams have not been getting. Oregon has the win over Ohio State, and not really a lot else. Penn State really doesn't have anything on their resume other than a close loss to Ohio State right now. So I know there's this thought out there that the loser of the Big Ten championship game is still going to host. I'm not convinced that the loser of the Big Ten championship would have a better resume than a Georgia if they were to lose, or Tennessee. Or even, you know, quite frankly, South Carolina, who I don't think is going to get in, but is the hottest team in the country.
I think if Oregon loses, they probably would get a game at Autzen, because they did also beat Boise. That Boise State's loss.
Yeah, that's a good shout. And they'd be 11-1.
They'd be 11-1. They're 12-1. They'd be 12-1.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you just as far as them being a bit of a mystery. And I'm not saying I don't think they're good, because they're really, really good. And I got to see what they were on Saturday, and they're good. So I'm not trying to come at this as a hater, even though I am, of that program. But they're really good. What I don't know is they haven't played a defense like Penn State's defense. Penn State's defense, one of the best defenses in the country. And I know Dylan Gabriel's very good. He's a very good quarterback. But, like, the weapons that Oregon has offensively, I think, against a defense like that, or Georgia or Texas or someone like that, I think could be neutralized.
Well, I think one of the things that's come out a lot over the last 48 hours in the analysis of this game is how statistically equal Penn State and Oregon are. They score about the same amount of points per game. They give up about the same amount of points per game. they allow about the same yardage per game. There's not a lot of statistical difference between the teams. They both have really good quarterbacks. Gabriel's a better quarterback than Aller, but they're both really good quarterbacks.
Is he going to be full, like
Aller?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's good. Okay. And you know, you'll have the RPO package with Perbula that could come into play. To me, the X factor in the game, if we want to analyze the Big Ten championship game, which, by the way, you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Saturday at 7:45.
We're the home of the Big Ten.
On Saturday we are. And by the way, we would have run that whether Penn State was in the game or not. I want to make that clear. But I think Randy would agree with me. Tyler Warren's the X factor.
I love that
guy. He's going to be the X factor in every playoff game that Penn State plays.
I agree.
Ohio State shut him down. Mm-hmm. Shut him down. You know, so the game film is out there. Penn State playing against a defense that had equal or better talent, they were able to shut Tyler Warren down. Purdue was not. Maryland was not. USC was not. Penn State has maybe of the 12 teams that are going to be playing in the postseason, I would put Penn State's group of wide receivers probably 35th out of 12. They just don't have wide receivers that can get open. And they've been very transparent about that. So any team that can successfully shut down Tyler Warren, even with Singleton and Allen, two very good running backs, Penn State just has not been able to assert themselves running the football this year. So in that way, their offense becomes a little bit one-dimensional, even though everyone praises Andy Kolodnecki for all these different packages and schemes and formations and everything like that. So I think that's what the game comes down to. I mean, if Warren's held to, I don't know, 10 or fewer touches, because he'll touch the ball as a running back and maybe a quarterback, I think Oregon probably is in good shape.
I got a question, Mike, because the Hawks have won four in a row. We had this comic. I saw it earlier this morning. I wanted to has DeAndre Hunter accepted the role? Does he, you know what I mean? Like,
well, it's interesting. We talked to him after the game last night, and I gave Holman the stat. You know, the Hawks are 6-0 when he scores 20 points or more. And Steve had mentioned that to him, and DeAndre was like, yeah, that's cool. Glad to be contributing in that way. I would imagine DeAndre's probably okay with it because they're winning games, and he's getting his stats.
Right.
So, no big deal, right? Like, now, where I would get a little bit concerned is if the Hawks go through another injury crush the way that, like, the Pelicans were going through last night or the Hornets on Saturday, and the Hawks have been through it this year, then what does Hunter's role evolve into? I really like him coming off the bench, but it works right now because you're getting production from Reza Shea and from Johnson. If one of those two guys gets hurt, then what do you do?
Right.
But right now it's working great. And they're going to be in the NBA Cup knockout round. We know it's going to be a road game. Wouldn't it be funny if it was the Pistons? And that could be. Like, you could have the Magic, the Pistons, the Hawks, and the Celtics.
That'd be great, actually.
I love it. Yep. I actually love that. I mean, that puts those teams in the spotlight that would otherwise not be there. So, but it's working really well for Hunter. And the Hawks have played really good basketball over the last week. They've been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, those two wins over Cleveland, I think pretty good statement wins. Obviously, they beat the Celtics in the way that they beat them. They were decimated by injuries. Trey didn't even play in that game. But to go back-to-back against Cleveland like that and the way that they did it, pretty convincing fashion.
Especially
that was impressive.
On Friday. Yeah, really almost dominant on Friday. And then, you know, you wonder, okay, is Cleveland, like, what's going on there? Cleveland turns around and beats Boston.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so I think the Hawks need to take a lot of validation and confidence out of those performances. I don't think it was a situation where the Cavaliers were overlooking the Hawks. Cavaliers got LeVert back on Friday, and that really didn't make much of an impact. So the Hawks remind me of Atlanta United in a way. We talked about how Atlanta United had this issue this year where they would play up to and down to the level of their competition. Yep. The Hawks played down to the level of their competition Saturday in Charlotte, and I would argue for 3.5 quarters they did so again last night.
Yeah, certainly for the first half.
Yeah, sloppy turnovers, and I think at one point they were like 5-for-30 from three or something like that, like just an unsustainable percentage. So I'm not willing to, you know, go all in on the Hawks right now because they're still showing some flaws, but this is a young team that is clearly getting better. just got to stay healthy, most please.
There it is right there. Yeah. Most important thing, stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because he kept saying it. Just wait till everybody's here. Bogey's back. And everybody back in their role. Yeah. Meaning that.
Bogey wasn't good last night. They still survived and won by 12.
I love, I prefer a hot shooting bogey night. But I love a cold bogey night because he's not going to stop.
He's not going to stop.
No.
Yeah. He went 1 of 8 from 3. I'm surprised he didn't go 1 of 18.
He would have tried if he gotten the ball. Yeah.
He's going to keep shooting.
Yeah.
He's great. But, yeah, man, 4 in a row, 11 and 11. A lot of fun. Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys.
We appreciate it.
Go Georgia. Go Dogs.
All right. We'll come back and get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Probably let you hear some more from Jameis just because why not. And then we'll get back into the Falcons and what they need to do this week as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.